This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, as the psalmist tells us today, let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Mm-hmm. Please be seated. Well, I hope you have enjoyed what I call the Episcopal drinking song. And I thank my wife for bringing that from her high school days to St. Joseph's many years ago. And it is always just a wonderful thing to sing to. So, well, there is a thing in liturgics called Plan B. So we have Plan B today because we can't have our baptism today. And our prayers are with the Smith family as they recover from COVID. But I do want to involve our children if I can today, since it is a fourth Sunday. So all of the children who are here who are in the communion class and any of the other children or youth if they want, I'm going to invite them. Dee, if you want to come up to sort of organize this, hopefully we'll get a nice little representative crowd up here to just come up here, and we're going to have a little dialogue conversation today with our sermon. So you guys, if you want to sit on the floor or up here, either place, it's up to you, but we're just going to have a little conversation. So when you find where you want to go, Miss D's coming up close, and just have a seat. Thank you all. What a great class. What a great group of kids. What's that? We got youth. Yes, right there. So, we don't have a baptism today. Does anybody want to volunteer? I think you've already done it, haven't you? How many of you remember the day that you were baptized? Probably not many. Dee does. You guys do. I remember yours. Yeah, you were little, right? Well, we're going to talk about it a little bit today, and I think even moms and dads and everybody else here might learn a little something, could be reminded of it. So, but we're going to talk. How many of you are in the communion class who are up here? Okay, good. All right, so I know Rev. Mary's been teaching you and instructing you already, but let's just talk a minute about communion. In all of the sacraments, there is something that is sort of a sign. So let's think about signs. If you're out in the car with mom and dad, and you're driving, and you see this thing that has eight sides on it, and it's red, and it has the words STOP, what does that mean? It's a stop sign. It's a stop sign, exactly. Well, everybody knows it, but in South Florida, you would wonder sometimes, wouldn't you? So, a sign. And here's what a sign means. A real sign is something that helps to bring about the thing that it stands for. So a stop sign, it represents a stop for safety, and most of the time, it brings it about. Now, in the sacraments, it's the same deal. So, what is the sign, do you think? What is it that we receive in communion? Yes? The bread, okay? So, the bread's a sign. So, let's think about it for a minute. What does the bread stand for? What does bread do for? What does food do for us? It feeds you, and by feeding you, what does it give you? Yeah. Energy, yes. Wonder Bread builds strong bodies 12 ways, it used to say, right? It gives us strength. So communion, the whole idea And I'm sure Rev Mary's already got this in her agenda to teach you about, but it's to give us strength. So it's to give us spiritual strength for our journey. But let's transfer over to a sacrament that comes before that. Baptism. What do you think the symbol is for baptism? What is it that we use? Water. Let's talk about water. What does water do? Think about water. Yeah. It feeds the earth. Plants grow, huh? Right? What else? Hydrates you. Yes, it gives you energy. What else does it do? It what? It takes the shape of the table? Okay. The container. Got it. Okay. Okay. Anything else? Let me give you a little hint. What? Uh-huh. And it cleans. It cleanses. Huh? All right. Let's talk about something else that water does that maybe we don't think about when we think about baptismal water. Have any of you ever gone surfing? What does water do if you're surfing? It gives you waves. It gives you the power. If we didn't have the waves, you wouldn't be able to surf very much, would you? Right? If you've ever been to the Hoover Dam or any of those other places, they call them hydroelectric power plants because the water gives power. Now think of all those things. Water cleanses. Water hydrates us, gives us energy. Water gives life to plants. Water gives power. Those are important things for us because that's the whole idea with baptism. We baptize most of our people when they're really little in this church. Some of us are a little older that we can remember it. But the reason we do that is because there's so many wonderful things that that does for us that we want to have that as soon as we can get it. So I want to talk a little bit about St. Joseph's history here with us all because it's important about understanding the power of water. Many of you have heard this story before if you've taken Episcopal 101. Now, when I came to this church, the first week I was here, this is going way back before most of you guys were here, 2001, it started to rain. And the altar guild started running around this church with buckets. And they put a bucket there. They put a bucket there. They put a bucket in the back. And it's like, why are you putting these buckets out? There's nothing leaking. And they said, but that's where it's going to leak. They knew. They had been here long enough to know that when the water started leaking, those were the three spots where it's going to leak. I was amazed by that. And I thought, if they know that it's going to leak, this must have been happening for quite a long time. So I asked Father Mike, who was the priest here before me, to take me on a tour of the church. And Father Mike, who was here for about 15 years, he said, see that leak? That was here when I got here. 15 years before me. See that one? That one was here when I got here. And I'm starting to think, that's a lot of water dripping for a long, long time, isn't it? Well, here's what happens. The vestry, God love them, decided, we better put on a new roof. It's about time we did that. So all of these fancy construction people came and they took off all of those flat tiles out there. And I was sitting in my office when the altar guild came running in and they said, there's sand falling on the altar. What? You know what happened? Because of that water dripping over all of those years, things had disintegrated. There were planks of wood that I kept for this illustration back from 2001. See what happened? The water, the power of that water dripping over time, look what it did. It disintegrated the wood. Here's another one. Look at that. And look at this. Some of those planks that were supposed to be that long, this is all that was left. The only thing that was holding those tiles, that roof up there from caving in on us, was the mortar that was between each of those bricks holding them together. There no longer was a support structure. There were 12-foot rectangle holes in the roof that had nothing to support us anymore. You talk about the power of water. It made me want to put one of these on.
What?
Huh? Now, don't get worried because it's all fixed. But I think it was a great understanding for us that God had something in mind to teach us about the power of water, to understand that we are given this gift of baptism and the support of our families, that we might go out and be like Jesus calls us to be today. Now, I wanted to do something because you're all up here, and we aren't going to rebaptize anyone because you don't need it. You're already baptized. But we do want to go through some of these wonderful things that are in this baptismal rite. So I know that some of our parents and godparents and sponsors are here from the baptisms we've done for the last 2 years. But I'm going to invite all of our parents, especially those whose children are here, that we might use this as an opportunity to remember that baptism and the commitments that we made at that time. So, if you turn over to page 10, we are presenting all of these wonderful candidates who have been baptized. And I'm going to ask our parents and godparents, all of us who are parents here present, will you continue to be responsible for seeing that the child you present is brought up in the Christian faith and life? And will you, by your prayers and witness, help this child to grow into the full stature of Christ? And so now we have the renewal of our vows, and you guys don't have a program in front of you, but as you catch on, you can join in too. I ask us all, do you renounce Satan and the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God? Do you renounce the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God? Do you renounce all sinful desires that draw you from the love of God? Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior? Do you put your whole trust in his grace and love? Do you promise to follow and obey him as your Lord? And now, for all of us here gathered, as we are a child in our hands congregation, intergenerationally supporting every single person, will you who witness these vows do all in your power to continue to support these persons in their life in Christ? Then, let us join with those who have committed themselves to Christ and renew our baptismal covenant. I ask us all, do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? And born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? And this one's especially important for our communion milestone class. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers? Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? And will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? I'm going to invite Barbara to come to the microphone, and this would normally be prayers for those who are about to be baptized, but we're going to use it today as a prayer for all those who have been baptized, especially in the last 2 years at St. Joseph's.
Deliver them, O Lord, from the way of sin and death.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Open their hearts to your grace and truth.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Fill them with your holy and life-giving spirit.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Keep them in the faith and communion of your holy church.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Teach them to love others in the power of the Spirit.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Send them into the world in witness to your love.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Bring them to the fullness of your peace and glory.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Grant, O Lord, that all who have been baptized into the death of Jesus Christ, your Son, may live in the power of his resurrection and look for him to come again in glory, who lives and reigns now and forever. Now, if we were doing a baptism, this is when it would take place. And a little bit of St. Joseph's trivia. This little silver shell is inscribed on the back by the Weaver family because Melanie Weaver was the first person baptized in this church, and this is the shell that we have used for baptizing people ever since then in 1956. Pretty special, huh? But because we are not able to do much with holy water these days, I thought maybe we could at least get a little sprinkling of holy water. And perhaps it'll be a reminder today of something else that water does for it, and that is it refreshes us. If you've ever been out in a hot outside situation at a restaurant, sometimes they will have these little things that spritz water to sort of cool you off. So maybe today we can add to our experience of water with understanding how this special water refreshes us. Ready? A little more. Here we go. We used to have the altar guild on Christmas would all wear their big hats because they didn't want to get their hairdos wet. Now, the other thing that we would normally do, and we're going to end with this, two other signs at baptism we receive. There is special oil called chrism. And when you were baptized, and it might have been even Rev Mary that did it, or Rev Wendy, or maybe me, or maybe even Father William when he was here, we take this oil and we put it on your forehead, and oil seals us. It creates a seal. It makes us like Jesus. So we're not going to physically do that today, but it just becomes a reminder of another way that we become Christ's own forever, and he's never going to give up on us. We also light a candle, and I bet you many of you still have a baptismal candle that you received at your baptism, and we light it from this candle, which is called the Paschal candle, the Easter candle, the symbol of Jesus being our light. And then we give it either to you if you're old enough or to your parents and godparents, and we say, receive the light of Christ. With a reminder that Jesus tells us that that light is not meant to be hidden, but it's meant to be displayed and shared with the world. So we're going to pray that God continue to enable you to be that light. We're going to end today and invite you to go back to your seats, but we're going to do something a little bit different, because normally in non-COVID times, we have this wonderful procession through the church with the family that's had their child baptized, and we sing this wonderful song called, "We Are God's Work of Art." We're going to sing it today. The congregation's going to join. But as a reminder that we've all been baptized, let's change those words a bit to, "I am God's work of art." So I'm going to invite you all to stand up. And you can all go back to your families now. And David will lead us in singing, "I am God's work of art." I am God's work of art, fashioned in Christ, fashioned to shine with goodness and light. As it was from the start, born by this great, great love, we are God's great, wondrous work of art. And at the bottom of page 15, we say to each other, "We receive you into the household of God. Confess the faith of Christ crucified, proclaim his resurrection, and share with us in his eternal priesthood." Please stand. May the peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
And in whatever safe way we exchange Christ's peace.